holiday baking, cookie exchanges, cookie baking traditions. It's cold in Minnesota, and baking just comes naturally. 15 years ago, Rick Nelson, Star Tribune food critic, thought that channeling all the cookie baking into a contest was a good idea. And his recent book, The Great Minnesota Cookie Book, is proof that is indeed a great idea. Co-written with Lee Svitak Dean, I hope I said that right. This is not just a beautiful book filled with pretty pictures. It will make your mouth water and get you inspired to get in the kitchen. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Did I say her name right?
You did it absolutely right. Correct.
Okay. Oh, good. Because you just never know. Especially in this neck of the woods. So every cookie is a winner, literally, in this book. How do you sift through that flour fog of tasting all that deliciousness and pick winners? How do you do
it? Well, every year, you know, it's funny, we kind of started with a system, and we haven't really changed it all that much over all of these years. We usually receive maybe 250 or 300 entries every year, which is so awesome. We love that. We kind of do a quick sort right away where we pull out the recipes that, number one, are very similar to ones that we've already published. You know, we've built up this archive now of about 80 recipes. Mm-hmm. Then we go through and we pull out recipes that maybe we're not interested in for whatever reason. The purpose of our contest is to give our readers new cookie ideas. So, you know, people will send in recipes for their favorite sugar cookie or their favorite snickerdoodle, you know, a very traditional cookie. And we already have those recipes, you know. We want to give new recipes to people. So we remove those from our list as well. And we just kind of keep whittling down and whittling down until we get to maybe 20 or 25 that look like we really want to bake these. And then we bake them. We get them all in a room. And then we judge them, and we pick four finalists and a winner. And that's kind of what we've done every year with, you know, slight variations.
So how has the actual process changed in terms of, because I know the first one, you actually baked all the cookies.
I did.
Oh, my Lord. Seriously?
And I did it over a weekend, and by the end of the weekend, I thought, I am going to just quit my job right now. Just doing the shopping alone, it took me like 3 or 4 hours just to do the shopping, right,
yeah,
for like 25 cookie recipes. So after that first year, when the contest itself was such a big hit, we thought, let's just keep doing this, but one thing we're going to change is I'm not going to do all of that baking. And so we initially, for many years, we enlisted our colleagues in the newsroom who liked to bake and just asked them, would you be willing to bake a recipe for us? And if they did, they could be a judge. And mm-hmm. so there were times when there were 20 or 25 of our colleagues all sitting around a big conference room at the Star Tribune, tasting one cookie after another and then fiercely debating them. About 3 or 4 years ago, we approached a cooking school, and ever since then, they have been doing our baking for us. And then we meet at the school, and we get all of these cookies all baked that morning by students and by alumni of this wonderful school. And then that's how we judge. And I'm forever grateful to these people for doing our baking for us.
Oh.
It's so much better, by the way, because they're all such good bakers.
That would be fantastic. And the best of all worlds. Did you ever think it would get this big?
You know, I never did. It was so funny in the beginning. We started the contest because I had been looking through all of these old Taste sections. Taste was started in 1969, and we have a copy of every issue of Taste that's been published since October 2nd, 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And in those early years, in the 70s in particular, there was all kinds of reader back and forth with this section, and people would there was a recipe exchange where readers would ask other readers for recipes. There were contests, and we weren't really doing that in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I thought this was such a really great idea for getting readers, you know, really invested in our section. And that's kind of how it started. And ever since then, I've just always been so touched and so tickled by the letters that people write to us about their recipes. Sometimes to be honest, we'll mm-hmm. we'll select a recipe because the story behind it is so interesting that we really want to try it.
You know, and that's one of the things I was going to mention too, is I love the stories that go along with the cookies. It just brings that realism. You can see them in their kitchen. You can see the other partner licking the spoon, and it's just, you know, that just makes it so much more palatable, as if they weren't already. The funny thing is, after I had set up this interview, I was going on Facebook, and a friend of mine posted this batch of terrible looking cookies, and she had said, "I'm doing this. This is the first batch, and I'm trying to perfect the recipe and whatnot, and I'll come up with the third batch, and you'll see what that looks like." So I'm Facebook messaging her. Are you going to go for the cookie contest with the Star Tribune? She's like, "Oh, I do every year." She said, "I don't care if I win. It's just fun." So there you go.
Oh, I love hearing that.
Isn't that neat? and I have to say, I love the glossy, wipeable pages too.
They did a really great job with the book, didn't they? It's published by University of Minnesota Press. Mm-hmm. The photography is by my colleague, now retired colleague, Tom Wallace, who photographed almost every one of our cookie contests over the last 15 years. And it's a really beautiful book. And I'm not saying that because, you know, my name is on it. I'm really proud and pleased with the way the book turned out.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. I opened up this page to Candy Cane Sugar Cookies, which, oh my God. Really?
Yeah, they're delicious too.
I'm definitely going to try those. And I looked at some of these others, and let's just take a quick cruise through that cookie aisle. Devil's Delight Cayenne. I love this because I love the cayenne and cinnamon and red chili.
You know, this is one of my favorite cookies, actually. I'm so glad you brought this up. It was an early winner of our contest. And the woman who put the recipe together, her name is Michelle Clark, she fell in love with this chocolate truffle at a St. Paul chocolate store. And it had chipotle and cinnamon and chocolate. She loved those flavors. And she, over the course of several months, thought, how can I turn this into a cookie? And that's exactly what she did. I make this cookie. It's one of the cookies out of the book that I make all the time. I make it year-round, but I always make it at Christmas because of that beautiful chocolate cinnamon aroma when you're baking. I mean, you really can't beat it.
Yeah, no kidding. I did notice that the two of you, Lee, and you share your own special cookies at the beginning. I have to say, come on, Russian tea cakes and peanut blossoms, they seem so ordinary.
They are so ordinary, but you know, that's the other thing about Christmas cookies. I don't know how you celebrate the holidays, but when I was growing up, I would go to these gigantic family parties where my aunts, and it was always the aunts, the men never baked. You know, the aunts, my mom and my aunts did everything. And there would be these gigantic, a gigantic table of sweets. Some of the cookies were really elaborate, but the one that I always went to was that chocolate peanut butter kiss. the peanut butter cookie with the chocolate kiss on it. Always. I thought that was the most exotic cookie I'd ever seen. And I've loved them ever since.
And you know what's funny is my family did the same thing. And and always in the cookie exchanges and all that sort of thing. And the one that I usually went to, Russian tea cake.
See, so there you go.
Exactly. There's another one that I'm looking at here. Orange Almond Melting Moments.
Oh, that's another really beautiful cookie. It looks really challenging to make, and it really isn't. That's one of the things I really like about our contest too, is that, you know, a lot of our cookies, there are some cookies that take a little bit of expertise to make, but for the most part, what I love about cookie baking is that it's a very kind of intro to baking element. You know, almost anybody can make a cookie. You know, you're not making a three-layer cake that has to look beautiful. Cookies, even if they don't look great, you know what? They're going to taste great.
Exactly.
And that's one of those. And that's one of those cookies that looks like it might be difficult to make, and it really isn't.
And speaking of that, I'm looking at the pistachio orange cookies, and Scott from St. Paul is the one who baked them, and he said, something to, where is it? These cookies aren't complicated and they come together fast. They look like something substantial, but they're not hard to make. If you've ever baked a cookie, you can bake these for heaven's sake. I love the laugh, for heaven's sake. Oh, for Pete's sake, you know, just, it's marvelous. And so out of all this sort of baking and all that, do you have, aside from the peanut blossoms, do you have one that just you, and the chocolate cayenne devil's delight, was there another one that makes you go, oh, I have to make that?
Oh, definitely. One that I've been making for years. And I'll tell you a little bit of its backstory in a second. They're called almond palmiers, and they're fantastic. One of the reasons I like them so much is that it's a great refrigerator cookie. You know, it's essentially a cookie that you make into a log and you slice. They're a slice and bake cookie, and you don't even have to make the dough. The dough is puff pastry, frozen puff pastry, and you make an almond filling with almond paste and butter and a little powdered sugar. You spread it, roll it, cut it, and they make these most incredibly elegant and really flaky and delicious cookies. I make them all the time. I can make them. I probably made them 100 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so funny because it really should have won the contest that year. Mm-hmm. But at the time, we were really on our high horse about, you know, that uses a pre-made ingredient, puff pastry, you know, and we think cookies, you should make them from scratch with butter and sugar and flour. And so it was a finalist and not a winner. And it doesn't take away from the winner that year, which was quite good itself. But I'm telling you, these cookies are fantastic.
They sound like ones that I'll have to substitute for what I usually make is the Scandinavian almond cookies that you cut diagonally. They're quite tasty with the little milk and sliced almonds on top. Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to say is the lemon lime Christmas trees, and I say this because they are the cutouts and they look like they'd be the same old thing, but lemon lime just sounds delicious.
You know, lime in a cookie, we have another lime cookie as well, kind of a lime shortbread cookie that's also in the book. You know, citrus is such a great flavor at Christmas, and in the winter in particular. I remember my mother, who grew up in the 30s and 40s, always talked about, she always got oranges for Christmas. It was such a big deal, you know. Mm-hmm. Now we think, you know, so what? Citrus, it's so common. But back then, that was really a big deal to get a citrus in the, and so it has this very special winter holiday connotation. But you don't really think lime, but it's incredibly refreshing, and it's really different, and it really stands out on a cookie tray. That's one of the cool things that I've always loved about our contest, is that our readers are very in tune to unusual ingredients or very trendy ingredients, and you can kind of see that as you go through the contest over the years and see, 70% cocoa or coffee or, you know, all these ingredients, brown butter that you might not normally associate with cookies, they come up. And I think people are very in tune to what's going on in the world.
Hmm. And what is there a theme for the upcoming contest? Does it feel like, are you getting submissions yet?
We are getting submissions. Our cutoff date is October 19th. So I hope anyone who's listening and is thinking about entering, please enter. We'd love to see your recipe. I've looked at some of them, but I kind of like to hold back and not look at them until I have a big pile of them and then can kind of go through them all at once. But we are receiving. I've got a big stack of letters on my desk already.
All right, and I have to ask, what is some of the ingredients perhaps that are absolute no-nos? You look at the recipe, you go, nope.
And, you know, we do that, I will admit. I think that cookies should be made fresh, so they should include butter. I'm not a big shortening person with cookies. Mm-hmm. I think cookies should be made with butter. I'm not a big fan of shortcut ingredients like boxes of instant pudding, for example. I don't like breakfast cereal in cookies, so I kind of ignore any recipes that have breakfast cereal in them. Or, like cooking oil. Again, I think cookies should be made with butter.
Yes.
And really good butter if you can afford it.
Yes, I agree with you. And I have a nephew that he absolutely has to have those Christmas wreaths with the cornflakes.
Oh, absolutely.
I hate making those. I'm just going to say it. It's just true.
And we always received at least one entry with that very recipe. It was very sweet of people to enter. But, you know, we already had a recipe for that. Let's look for something new.
There you go. Yeah. And one more that I want to bring up to you, just because it's so unusual, at least in my view, bacon cornmeal Veneto's.
You know, that was another one. I love the story behind that one. It's a group of women, I think, in the southwestern suburbs who get together every year and bake. And, you know, we all know people who have groups of friends who get together and kind of do like a big cookie exchange every year. Yeah. This is that a group like that. And they wanted to create a recipe that would grab our attention. And they used bacon. And you would think, you know, bacon in a cookie?
Yeah.
No, bacon in a cookie, in the right cookie, is really delicious. And that was a really good example of, you know, bacon, you know, a very trendy ingredient when it came out, when that recipe came out a few years ago. I highly recommend making those.
Oh, well, that's on my list, too. So, Rick Nelson, thank you so much for your time. The book is The Great Minnesota Cookie Book by Rick Nelson and Lise Fitak-Dean. Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I just hope that if you have the time, enter our contest. We'd love to see your recipe. So thanks very much, Terry.
All right. Orange drop cookies, orange ginger. Love it. Every one of these, I'm just, my mouth is watering. Oh, all right. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Terry.
Hey, you are awesome. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. I'm so grateful that